Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me today is Dagan Merrill, the director of a new sci-fi movie, Atomica. It's a sci-fi thriller about, a potential nuclear problem being solved by technology, or is it? Welcome to the show, Dagan.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. So, this movie is a very intriguing thriller. It's sort of like it reminds me of a submarine kind of movie in a way, the way everything's all claustrophobic. So, what drew you to the this story?
Well, you know, we were looking to do something that was contained, and what drew me, I guess, to the script initially was you read it and I got very involved, and it wasn't until I think almost I was done with the script and all of a sudden it dawned on me that there was only three characters in the entire movie. So that's very rare to have a movie that only has such a limited amount of characters and it takes place in a limited amount of space, but really kept me turning the pages.
And there's sort of a psychological angle to it where your main character, Abby Dixon, she's gone to this very remote location for a specific task, and everything she runs into is counter to what she's been trained to do, trained to handle. And her uncertainty combined with the odd behavior makes for a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Like she shows up expecting something, and she, you know, what she finds is totally, like you said, yeah, totally different to what she was trained for.
So how did you approach just having the actors play out this sort of, I'm going to call it a psychological thriller?
Well, I have to say, I mean, working with Dominic and working with Sarah and Tom, we only had Tom. Well, Tom was a smaller time. He's not in the movie as much, but they're such just really talented actors that, you know, it began just as a discussion for other characters. And if you look at, I think Dominic's performance especially, he brought so much of the physicality, and he really understood what Zek was about. And so, you know, it's always that experience that you hope for as a director, is that you work with actors who you have some ideas and you have these preconceived notions of what you want this character to achieve, and then they show up with stuff that meets that and then just blows you away and exceeds it. And Dominic and Sarah did that. What they brought to it was Dominic's case is a little bit weirder, a little bit more out there, a little bit more schizophrenic than I think initially I would have gone. But I mean, if you watch the film, and it just really plays well. And he took some chances, you know. I think we made this independently, and for him to come in on an independent film and take some chances as an actor speaks a lot to how seriously he takes his craft.
And his performance really is intriguing to watch, because you're not sure where he's coming from. I mean, this, you know, Abby has been sent out there to get this power plant back online, and nobody knows why it went offline to begin with. So you don't know, did something happen to the plant? Is he suffering from, you know, radiation poisoning? Is he just gone a little bit psychotic because of this facility's remote location? You don't know. And what he did with that, I thought was very interesting.
Yeah. And you don't know. And I think that's what's so great about his performance, is that at the end, when you kind of figure out what is happening, it all kind of makes sense. But when you're watching it, it's hard, because he seems to kind of vacillate between this very dangerous character and someone who she can really connect to in a real way. And it's not, and he's not being, his character is not being manipulative. He's just being exactly who he is. And that's like, for her, again, she's come into a situation where she's trying to figure out what's going on. And it's very hard for her to judge what's what because of that.
Now, the facility where this was all shot is very large, or implied to be very large. Was this a place you guys found? Where was this shot?
Yeah, so we shot the film in an abandoned nuclear missile silo. It's actually a Titan II, which is the biggest underground missile complexes that the U.S. ever built.
Wow.
And, they were in commission. This one was in commission from 1968 to 1969, so only 18 months. And it was the biggest one because they had to raise the nuclear missiles to the surface to point them at Russia. And, 18 months later, they figured out how to fire them from the tube. So it became obsolete and they scrapped it. So it's just been, and since then, it's been privately owned and we got permission to shoot there. And so, everything you see, we try to do as much practically in this film as possible. And so a lot of the locations, really, of course, we wanted it to look like something that was happening in the future. So there was a lot of work to do. But I tell you, it was certainly, given the theme and given the kind of the weight and the darkness of this film, it was very interesting to shoot a place that had its own pretty, pretty dark and pretty terrible history.
And a connection to potential nuclear disaster as well. It was built to house nuclear missiles, and you're using it as a nuclear facility. I thought that's kind of cool, actually.
Cool, and it kind of permeates through, I think, the performances and through the way we decided to shoot it. There's a scene. One of my favorite scenes takes place actually over they're kind of like this little kitchen area.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, just above that kitchen area is actually right where two soldiers sat with their finger on the button to launch a nuke. All they had to do was get the call, and they would turn a key and they would launch nukes and start World War III. So, and they sat there for 24 hours a day for almost 2 years. Just sitting there ready, awake, to launch nuclear. So, and that was happening in the exact same space as some of this other stuff was happening. So it was, it was pretty interesting for sure.
What was the most challenging thing to film for you, and the most fun?
That's a good question. Honestly, I enjoyed just the performances. When we got to shoot scenes with Dom, Sarah, and Tom all in the same room, and just watching those, because they all bring such a different energy and such strength. And it's incredible because, like, you really see, I think, Abby, Sarah, her character is trying to figure out who to trust. And both their performances and their motivations are so strong. She really, it's a real struggle for her. So that's my favorite thing. Challenging-wise, we worked 60 feet underground, and so we had and there was no elevator, so we had to bring equipment in and out, it was cold and it was damp. And then the missile silo, there's a pretty important shot in the movie that takes place. We actually shot, and I really wanted to shoot the actual missile silo, so we had to create weld our own crane system and get this shot that's suspended over this 100-foot hole in the ground, and bring our actors to the edge of it. And I'll never forget. Dominic, this one shot, he walks right to the edge of this thing, looks over. That's him staring over, into the void. So that shot was particularly challenging to get in a lot of ways. But I think the funny thing is, I think people look at it and they're just going to assume it's CGI because it's so cool.
I know what scene you're talking about, and I thought that was CGI. The fact that that's a real, shall we say, pit, that's pretty impressive.
Right? Yeah. It's one of those things where it's too impressive, so it looks fake.
So, what are you working on next?
I'm working on another indie sci-fi that's shooting this year that's currently titled Bunker, but I'm sure that will change. And then a television show that we're pitching. So
Cool, cool. Well,
I love indie sci-fi, honestly. Like it's so much fun to me. I mean, they're so hard to make, because with sci-fi there's a lot of expectations for how cool things will look, the production design and the special effects. And there's almost no reason to make them independently because they do well and people like to watch them. But for me, I just love the aesthetic of it. I love the aesthetic of having to kind of create stuff. I mean, it reminds me of early sci-fi films where they were a little bit more constrained. They didn't have so much CGI, and so they were constrained by budget and time to like get real inventive and creative. And so, I don't know, indie sci-fi for me, it's like my favorite because it's just the dirtier the better, you know?
And we can all use some more indie sci-fi. Well, Dagan, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
The movie is Atomica in theaters on March 17th and available on video on demand and digital on March 21st. And thank you for listening to Slice of Sci-Fi. We will be back soon. Take care.